This was prophesied in the Holy Quran that twice will the Israelites be turned out of Palestine and twice they will recapture it. And twice will they be tried. If they conducted themselves well in the sight of Allah, then they will not be punished. But if they reverted to the old follies, then they will be punished and turned out of Palestine, and Palestine would be inherited by godly people, by the righteous people. So, unless this prophecy is fulfilled in both manners, you know, there are two things mentioned in this prophecy. Number one, the Jews will recapture one day in the latter days. The word latter days is Wadul Akhira is the word used, is the expression used in the Holy Quran. In the promise of the latter days, Jews will be made to return to Palestine. This is a prophecy of the Holy Quran. Nobody could alter it. After them, the land will be inherited by pious people. So if the Muslims of the time were already pious, why should they have come to Palestine at all? That means to say that at the time when the Jews would recapture or re-enter Palestine, generally speaking, the Muslims would have been rejected by Allah as not pious. In the meantime, a pious community would be created from among them. And Jews will ultimately be made to leave Palestine in shame and in defeat. And that land would be inherited, al-ard, by the God-fearing people of Allah. Ibadus salihun, that is, those who do good deeds and who are pious, virtuous people. So Ahmadiyyat came to prepare that group which would ultimately inherit that land. And this phenomena went parallel, side by side, for a while. On the one side we observe the fulfillment of the Holy Quran in the way of Jews recapturing Palestine. On the other side, we see that community being prepared and being educated, which would ultimately, inshallah, enter Baitul Muqaddas and inherit it from Allah. So I don't see any contradiction in these two things. If you see any contradiction after my explanation, please clarify your question further. That I have already explained. The fact is that according to the Holy Quran, as well as according to the traditions of the Holy Prophet of Islam, a most unfortunate time was to come to Muslims when they were no longer to be Muslims in reality, in the sense that as a whole they would be pious, God-loving, God-fearing people. They would stick to the word and spirit of the Holy Quran. If that prophecy is to be fulfilled, and we know it, not only is it to be fulfilled, it has been fulfilled, then such people have no longer a right to whatever they were given by Allah by way of favor. And the Holy Quran makes a very fundamental declaration in this regard. It says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Whatever Allah has given to some people, He does not alter that state of favors until first people themselves change themselves and no longer deserve their, those favors. Then Allah takes away those favors. Sometimes, if people are punished at the hands of worse people, and that is a phenomenon of punishment, that doesn't mean that Jews are dearer to Allah. It only means that the Muslims of this time are to be demonstrated by Allah that they are no longer on the right path. They are no longer God-fearing and righteous. So Allah's wrath is showing to them, and in a manner that which is also so insulting. To be punished by a person lower than you is a very great insult. It adds insult to injury. So to be punished in itself is bad, but to be punished at the hands of somebody who stands lower in status and degree is the worst punishment. Like that happened in the time of Tsar. You know, when the Tsar refused, now told one of his guards not to let anybody enter his palace because he was busy in some very important work, Tsar's son appeared and he tried to force his way to the palace. The guard stopped him and said, "No, it is the order of my master. I am not going to permit you to enter." He started beating him. And after that, when he got tired, he thought now he would have changed his mind. He tried again to enter the palace and he said, "No, the orders still remain. I am not going to permit you." Because he was a very strong, burly man, so this prince could not enter by force, but he kept on beating him until Tsar heard this noise. And when he came out, he knew what was happening, in fact, but he asked innocently, "What was the matter? Why is he beating you?" He said, "Look, it was..." He asked his son, "Why were you beating?" He said, "He did not permit me to enter the palace." He says, "Oh, that is his crime, that is his audacity. All right, but what did he say?" He said, "I am not permitted by my master, the king." He said, "You heard this and yet you insisted?" So he told the guard to take up the whip in his own hands and start beating this prince, the very son of the king. He took very strong exception to this. Not to the punishment, but to the punishment at the hand of a lowly placed person. The whole incident revolves this issue, this debate. He says he is lower than I am and he can't beat me. He has no right to beat me. So the king went on raising his status until he was raised to the status of a prince. And then he said, "Beat him now." So in the worldly affairs, we see the punishment is made more ignoble and more torturous when you are punished at the hands of a lowly person as compared to you. So sometimes this is how Allah's wrath comes. His displeasure appears. That people who are not closer to Allah than you are appointed to punish you for your running away from Allah and discarding His message. It has happened many a time in the history of Muslims. It's no wonder. At the time when Baghdad was being attacked by the herds, by the hordes, Khawanin hordes from Mongolia, the caliph of the time sent messengers to a very holy person who was living a retired life, and it was said that his prayers are accepted by Allah. So he sent, beseeched him to pray to Allah that Allah may avert this calamity, which was reaching Baghdad very rapidly. So the entire night he kept on praying. As he had told the king, the messenger of the king, to come in the morning to receive the answer, when he appeared in the morning, you know what his answer was? He said, "All night I have been praying to Allah to avert this calamity and to stop this horde of non-believers. And the entire night I have been given this revelation repeatedly. Ayyuhal kuffar, uqtulul fujjar. Ayyuhal kuffar, uqtulul fujjar. O non-believers, murder or kill the believers who are not righteous. Fujjar are those who believe in God or in His messenger, but whose deeds are ugly and bad and corrupt. So this was the revelation made to him throughout in answer to his prayer. He said, from this I understand that they are coming by way of Allah's decree and punishment. And now you have earned Allah's displeasure. Nobody can avert this calamity. This is going to befall you. So it has happened there too. So why can't it be repeated? And if the Muslims take the lesson, if they begin to see the message, then the things will, inshallah, be totally transformed in their favor and against the Jews. If they become Ibadiyus Salihun, as is said in the Holy Quran, Allah would see to it that they inherit the land again, and the Jews are turned out of that land.